Now, an MRAP short.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, New England Journal just fresh off the presses. Prevalence of pulmonary embolism amongst hospitalized patients for syncope. Italian study, New England Journal, October 20th. Big deal, Rob, big deal.
This is a huge deal, and it's breaking news. It's all over the internet. It's all over Twitter. It's being discussed amongst multiple specialties. And I'm going to put the cart before the horse. So this is PE in hospitalized patients with syncope. This study says, and by extension, the lay press is saying, because it's all over the news, one in six patients admitted with syncope has a PE. I mean, holy petunias, Batman. One in six. If this is in fact true, then we very much need to change the way we think about syncope. Here's the rough data. 560 patients, mean age 76 years, admitted with syncope. About 60% ruled out for PE, low pretest probability, negative D-dimer, whatever. Among the rest, the ones who didn't rule out, around 40% were diagnosed with PE, which if you look at all comers that were admitted, that's upwards of 20%. 20%! Gasp! With these results, it's going to be hard to admit any syncopal patient without a PE workup, but the devil, as they say, is in the details, and these are details we need to know. To that end, we've brought in a heavy hitter, author of the EM Nerd blog, co-host of the Annals of Emergency Medicine podcast, along with Ryan Radecki, and he is currently an attending at the University of Maryland Emergency Department, Dr. Rory Spiegel.
When I first read this paper, I gotta confess, I experienced a small explosion in my brain as I realized the chaos that these results are gonna create. And then I passed out and woke up at some point and realized, and once I figured out I didn't have a pulmonary embolism, I sat down and took a long, hard look at this data. I mean, just from the outside, it just doesn't make sense. I don't know about you, Rob, but one in six of the patients you admit to the hospital for syncope have a PE. You know, it just doesn't jive with our clinical experience, and more importantly, it doesn't jive with the previous data that we have on syncope patients. We know from the majority of the derivation and multiple validation cohorts of the San Francisco syncope rule that the majority of these patients are admitted to the hospital for syncope and never undergo pulmonary embolism testing, and they almost universally do well. The few that do experience adverse events, and this is consistently somewhere around 6 to 8%, often never have a pulmonary embolism, but usually have something to do with a cardiac event. So Rob, what does this mean? Does this really mean we're missing pulmonary embolism in 17% of the patients we admit to the hospital for syncope? Likely no. Imagine you come to work one day and you have a very eager intern assigned to work with you that day. Let's call him Basil. Now Basil comes to you and presents a patient and he describes a syncope patient. Let's say she's 72-year-old, had a syncopal event, maybe she was on the toilet or she was getting up from the breakfast table, had a small brief loss of consciousness and otherwise well. And you go through your workup and you kind of discuss the whole thing. And then at the end, he mentions, and I'm going to order a D-dimer. In most emergency physicians at this time, alarm bells are just ringing because we know we don't want to order a D-dimer on a 70-year-old female who looks otherwise well because we know it's going to be positive and it's going to force us to order a CTPA. And we know that might be positive. We're going to find something that we don't know what to do with. The authors of the Pessett trial have essentially weaponized this absurd diagnostic strategy. Given this, it shouldn't come as a surprise that the Pessett results are in a large part likely due to overdiagnosis. It's important to remember that radiographic filling defects do not directly translate into clinical pathology. In fact, if you look at the data from the PIOPED 2 trial, which was the accuracy defining study of CTPA, patients who underwent CT imaging who were low risk for pulmonary embolism, almost half the positive CTPAs were deemed to be false positive findings.
That's one argument, that the authors of this trial have weaponized an absurd diagnostic strategy and that they're finding these PEs and that these PEs may be irrelevant. And it's also a very selected patient population. But the counter argument is, these are PEs. These people had syncope. These are in fact clinically significant PEs.
Right. Yeah. I have no doubt that some of these patients had true clinically important PEs that was the cause of their syncope. Do you know how I know that, Rob?
I don't know.
They presented like patients who syncopized from a PE. If a patient presents to you after a syncopal episode and they're tachycardic, tachypneic with a big swollen leg and, oh yeah, they have cancer, I have no problem working them up for a PE because that's what they have. The problem with this study is they failed to highlight the fact that the patients presenting with pulmonary embolism found on radiographic imaging had significant more episodes of tachycardia, tachypnea, hypotension, obvious signs of lower extremity DVT, more often presented with cancer than the patients who had a negative workup.
So there was a high incidence of PE. There was some selection bias because these were the people getting worked up for PE because they're going to get worked up for PE.
The soundbite everyone is reacting to is 1 in 6 patients admitted to the hospital for syncope have a pulmonary embolism. And this is what will be used to justify working up all the patients presenting to the emergency department for syncope. And it's important to remember the denominator here. This was a study of 97 pulmonary embolisms. But the denominator the authors used to calculate their impressive 1 in 6 patients was the 560 patients that were admitted to the hospital. But it's important to remember that the majority of patients that were seen in this trial were never admitted to the hospital and thus never made it into this study. When we look at the entire population, this was 97 patients with radiographic diagnosed pulmonary embolism in 2,584 patients presenting to the emergency department with the syncopal events. That comes out to 3.8%, or 1 in 26 patients. So what this means is 1 in 26 patients presenting to the emergency department will have a pulmonary embolism found on imaging. Now, I submit that the large majority of these will be incidental findings due to overdiagnosis, and the remainder will be clinically obvious.
What am I supposed to do with this study? I'm going on shift in an hour and 16 minutes, and I suspect that I'm going to be seeing a syncopal patient. Should this paper change my practice?
I mean, the short answer is no. There are times when our clinical experience is misleading, when empiric evidence should call into question our long-standing practice pattern. But there are times when the evidence is in such conflict of our shared experience, there's nothing to do but question its validity. I have no doubt that despite our angry cries for resistance, these results will be used in vain to justify the needless diagnostic workups in our syncope patients. We will be tasked with performing invasive diagnostic workups in patients with no clinical signs or symptoms of pulmonary embolisms. But to go on to translate these results into meaning that all patients presenting to the emergency department after a syncopal event require a workup for pulmonary embolism is not only statistical hoodwinkery, but it's just bad medicine. These patients will be exposed to needless and harmful downstream workups, radiation, and anticoagulation. The real shame here is that we've come so far in creating a logical and reasonable pathway for patients presenting with syncope. We have fought off the mandatory head CTs, the mandatory troponins, the admission for all comers. And I just feel the results of this trial will potentially dismantle all the hard work we've done. We've chased the ghost of pulmonary embolism far beyond the reaches of good clinical practice. And this quest has left the path of overdiagnosis and unnecessary treatments in its wake. And at some point, someone has to say, stop the madness. I offer, the time is here and now.
Melvis, what are you going to take away from this?
I'm going to take away that this could be a disaster because everybody in the country is going to start doing CT scans on every single syncope patient, and that's not the answer. This was a very select group of people who were sick, who were old, who were admitted patients, who'd already had a screen where they'd tried to rule out other causes. And so I don't know exactly how this extrapolates to a US practice where we have an incredibly low threshold to work up PE anyway. I have no idea what to do with this data, but I do know we don't need to drop our threshold for doing CT scans to rule out PE any more than it is right now, Rob. It's low enough.
So, Melvis, your take home is, well, this is very interesting, but as far as the day-to-day practice of emergency medicine, business as usual.
Thank you. Business as usual.